I've been asked many times, what are your swing thoughts as you're swinging?
Well, I try to flat load my feet so I can snap load my power pack. As long as my number two power accumulator doesn't break down, I can reach maximum lag and drag pressure through impact fix. You see, the pivot is the utilization of multiple centers.
Golf is geometrically oriented linear force.
And if you think of all this, hopefully you'll hit shots like this.
Welcome to episode 5 of Full Swing Thoughts, a Friday golf podcast on the Netflix docuseries Full Swing. This is on season 2. It is season 2 of Full Swing Thoughts. Last year, we had a nice first run. I believe it was the top-rated golf podcast for a while there by the kind of sketchy metrics that don't actually judge the total audience. We just got a lot of new listeners because it was a new podcast. But demand for season 2, so we are back. I'm Brendan Porath of Friday Golf. I'm joined by Joseph LaMagna of Friday Golf. You've likely listening to this this podcast after you watch each episode. Hopefully you're not listening before you watch them, but we're now plugging through. We're in the second part, second half of the second season as we get to episode 5, which is titled In the Shadows. We never talked about episode 4 being Prove It, based on Tom Kim being unable to do the script of one of those really wooden, terrible FedEx Cup or Players Championship promos or something. And that's the most inauthentic stuff. And they showed us why. But that was Prove It. Now we're on to In the Shadows, which is about the Fitzpatrick brothers, more specifically Alex Fitzpatrick. Matt Fitzpatrick was a star, a subject of season 1. He won a major in that season, so that worked out well for Netflix. This one is now on his brother, who is an up-and-coming, a kind of fledgling new tour pro, trying to become a tour pro, has a pretty touted amateur career, played at Wake Forest, played in Walker Cups, things like that. But this is primarily on his brother and living, quote-unquote, in the shadows. Joseph, let me actually just say, scenes, it's everywhere. It's Harbortown, which I forgot Fitz won until they showed him winning. I totally forgot that happened. You know, a week after the Masters, you just kind of, check out. It's, PGA Championship, MC for Fitz. It's Zurich is a big one. Zurich, as they play as a brotherly duo in New Orleans. And then the Open Championship, where Fitzpatrick, they show Alex final qualifying, and then also playing alongside Matt at Hoylake. So those are your scenes. Those are your subjects. Joseph, what'd you think of this episode?
Brendan, I thought it was like a nice episode, and there were some moments that I took away from it, and I think the Fitzpatrick family's cool, and I appreciate the way they interact, and like how genuinely happy Matt was for Alex at moments. Like, I enjoyed watching the episode. I didn't think it was anything special. I didn't think that the stories that happened lend themselves to a great episode necessarily. Matt has a pretty uneventful year on the golf course, and Alex, like, the final qualifying is cool, and that he played well in the Open Championship is really cool. So it tied together pretty well for an episode. Just isn't going to be an episode that stands out for me. That's kind of the way I felt about it. How do you feel?
Yeah, similar. It was fine. At certain points, I was like wondering like if it needed to be a full episode. Again, like the first three for my money were bangers. Like, they were great episodes. Yeah. Tom Kim one was not good. This one did not live up to that standard of the first three. I get it. There's a balance. We talked about this just on episode 4 of this podcast about how they're trying to find different stories. They can't make every episode about JT or Rory or whoever, or Liv versus the tour. I guess they could try, but like, they want to tell kind of the full story of being a professional golfer, or what this kind of traveling circus of the tour might be like. So there are going to be some episodes that feel like a little different. This one did not live up to the standard of the first three as well, in my money. I get what they were going for here. They've got sort of the young tour pro. They've got a brother, obviously, who's been a subject of this show. They've got a European element, like challenge tour, European tour. They want to tell the story of that side of the Atlantic at all. They want to tell the story of like someone who's in like the qualifying stages of their lives, whether it's KFT or whatever those like minor league tours might be. That's kind of what they were going for, and like that genre of pro golf. I get it. There was like some things to nibble on there and go for. But I don't know. It didn't really pop for me. And the In the Shadows stuff felt like it got a little heavy-handed, like a little overplayed. Is that fair? Like, yeah, we get it. Like, his brother is older and done more and more accomplished. It just felt like there was too much of that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Brendan, curious if you agree or disagree, but I think one thing I like about the Fitzpatricks, seems to be all of them, is they're not all about themselves and their personalities are kind of muted. They're kind of not trying to draw attention to themselves, which I appreciate, but it may not lend itself to the best television. So yeah. I feel like that's kind of what you're dealing with. That was one of my takeaways. Matt Fitzpatrick maybe isn't made for Netflix. I really appreciate him. And they nailed it last year when he wins the US Open.
They loved him. Yeah.
But like going forward, he's probably not going to be a character that's a lightning rod for episodes. So yep. I don't know. I think we felt similarly about it.
Yeah, I mean, they were going for a minor league type view and the European tour like view or Euro side aspect. And I don't know. I guess they did okay with that. Let's get to our awards. We have awards for every episode, made up categories. We try to guess. Why don't you go first? What was an award you had you want to hand out for this episode?
I don't know the best title for this award, but something to the effect of like, I'd love to grab a beer with this person. Just somebody whose vibe I'm about.
Rachel Keane.
She was great. I was not going to say somebody I'd like to get a drink with and pick somebody's girlfriend that's about my age.
That's fair. I guess that's true. That's a little sketch. I don't know. She comes off great, right? I mean,
I think so.
We kind of knew about her personality from amateur and college golf. I forgot they were dating or that was a thing. Who is it? Who could it be?
I just think Mr. Fitzpatrick is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Russ. Isn't that his name? Russ?
Russ. Is it Russ? Just so many different scenes, like being goofy, seems really friendly, like talking about Alex losing his temper during the Zurich Classic and mentioning to, I think that Matt had a fill-in caddy that week, mentioning to him like, yeah, we're going to talk about that one later, but always seeming to have it in perspective, like rooting so hard for them, just seems like a really fun, down-to-earth guy.
Yeah, there's one quote where like in New Orleans, they're like, oh, it looks like he's going to try to go for the green. We better duck, get ready to duck or something like that. Sort of like self-deprecating about his son, just like wailing away. Who knows where the ball might go. He seems great. He's like a goofball. So I guess that is sketchy to talk about going out for getting a beer. But I was talking about Rachel Keane being cool. Like she seems cool. Yeah. Like it would be, you know, fun.
She was great.
Yeah.
What's your first award?
The Freezing Cold Takes Award. Freezing Cold Takes. Netflix, like, or at least this is not like how we remember it or how we would characterize anything. And Netflix sort of, yeah, it just Freezing Cold Takes. That was something that was put out there by someone in this episode.
Does it have to do with Alex beating Matt?
No, it has to do with the punching bag that's recurring throughout this season. It's a minor bit background character, not a main character. Not even in the show directly.
Hold on.
Freezing cold takes. Think about the Open Championship.
Yeah.
Think about who's on the call for the Open Championship.
Oh, Azinger.
Think about
Azinger.
The most dangerous shot on the course is this 132-yard 17th hole, I'll tell you. And that he said that. And like you think about that in the context of the week. I guess that's kind of not fair. It's a curveball. It's basically from the broadcast. But I just forgot, like, they put that in the show to make this hole look like it was, you know, a tightrope walk, and it was just never that throughout the entire week, right? It became mostly boring for these guys. The wind didn't come up like the way they expected. Of course, there's the scenes of Matt Fitzpatrick getting sort of a triple and getting nuked out to the sea after he spent the beginning of the week saying it was, you know, I have no comment on this hole, trying to, you know, say a lot without saying much. I don't know. That just amused me to hear Zinger say that. Basically, when we know the truth that it wasn't that dangerous a shot, how is it the most dangerous shot on the course when you have internal OB that could like basically wreck your entire championship on multiple occasions? It was just such a dramatized, ridiculous, freezing cold take now that we look back on that week.
That's fair. I mean, it bucked its head a little bit. It was not the most dangerous shot out there. It was classic Azinger.
Yeah, 3 and, you know, 18. Yeah,
I'm with you. I'm with you.
All right, what's your next award?
I don't know what the word is for what Brendan, in your extensive journalism background, when you're watching a documentary and there's a label attached to somebody's name to clarify like, who they are, what's the proper term for that?
Like the cryon at the bottom, their title. What do you mean? Like, where they say cryon. So like Michael Jordan's, you know, bagman or something like that. Yes. Okay.
All right. So yeah, cryon, go with the funniest cryon.
Okay.
Just amused me.
What did we have? I'm trying to think.
I mean, these are going to be hard to guess.
I'm trying to think who popped in to this episode. What was it?
I was just amused that Mark Steinberg is described as Matt Fitzpatrick's agent. And just no mention that it's Tiger Woods' longtime agent. Like, just cracking me up that I don't know if this is the only time we're going to see Mark Steinberg, but it probably is. And for that to be his cry on is Matt Fitzpatrick's agent, I just got a chuckle out of it.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense in this episode, but it was weird. Like, Como last episode is simply known as Tiger Woods' coach. So it's like he had a cup of coffee and now he does. He's done a lot more in the game. But yeah, Steiny making his appearance was. I have made a note of that immediately because he hasn't been in it much, although a lot of Excel guys have been. He has not been. So
it's just funny to me he's being reduced to Matt Fitzpatrick's agent. And that's not shade at Matt Fitzpatrick, and it obviously made sense to do it. It's an episode about the Fitzpatricks. That's not criticism of Netflix. Just Mark Steinberg, when you think of him, very few people would I think you'd probably mention that he's Tiger Woods' agent.
Kind of an inside baseball thing. So like a theme of or not a theme, a question of this was like, has winning a major changed you, right? Don't they ask that about Matt at some point? You know, like, has he changed since he's won a major? Like they ask his girlfriend or something like that. I think like he brought in Steiny, like Excel got him. I think he kind of pushed off his like long standing like buddy who was like his agent manager type who came up with them. I don't know. It's just like things happened fast for Matt since he won. Like he got that girlfriend. I think they got engaged. They might be married now. Maybe. I could be wrong about that. Steiny sort of swooped in, really took the reins. I think, I don't know. That was something Fitz, you know, changed or kind of developed over the last year since he won his major. But yeah, he got into full-blown Steiny deal. The swing bridge award. So a swing bridge is when, you know, it flips the whole way around. What's the swing bridge award? That's the attempted, I don't know, some sort of.
Does this refer to a particular transition? Because I enjoyed one in here.
Yes.
I'm going to say, because this was something I liked about the episode, going from the Zurich Classic, the ultimate drag along somebody, not a meritocracy, directly into the final qualifying.
No, it wasn't that, but that's good. That's really good. That's a good note. I was just talking about the bridge scenes when they go across the bridge, right, to get from the 18th hole to scoring or the locker room. And it starts, I thought this was like an interesting way that Netflix does this. They do a good job of like, if you're paying attention, sort of flipping it on you. It starts with Alex walking across the bridge. And says, Matt, can I get your hat? He said, it's Alex. He's like, if you'd called me Alex, you would have got my hat. And then by the end, they're crossing the bridge together. And another fan underneath says, good job, Alex. Like, beep, 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 beep. Oh, and you too, Matt. And it's sort of like, it's a well-told story. I don't know if the people are staged or something. Of, you know, it plays into the story of Alex is barely known. And then by the end, they're also saying, oh, you too, Matt, to the brother. So I thought that was interesting. Like
they do a good job with that
scene.
Yeah. Did you, maybe you noted this, I think in a very similar vein, at the very beginning of the episode, Matt Fitzpatrick's getting asked to take pictures with people while they're on the range. And then at the end, people are asking Alex for pictures on his way out. And that's kind of the way that the episode ends. So like,
I didn't see that. That's a good job. I think good point for you.
They do a lot of that kind of stuff.
I think that scene was from last year too, I believe. The first range scene with Fitz, that looked familiar from the first season. All right, let's rip through some notes here. I don't know. The quote, being Matt's brother is great and annoying. It's a gift and a curse. I thought that was drawn out pretty well. Clearly, like, he feels some internal burden, Alex does, but it's quite a deal having that last name because he's head to toe Nike. He's got maybe, is Mark Blackburn his coach? He's on the range with them. I don't know if he was just loitering nearby and they put the cryon on him and said, Mark, I don't know if that's his coach. He's head to toe Nike. He's got, you know, Steiny high fiving him. Steiny makes an appearance and like the super agent in the game jumps in. He's got full gear, best teachers. He's like maybe the most high profile agent. Like a lot of that comes with, I don't know, having a brother also pave the path for you. Of course, he's ridiculously talented, but he's set up pretty well to have the advantages of making it, having some advantages. Now I get it's totally a burden too. It's a curse. He says it's great and annoying. It's a gift and a curse. But that was, I think, drawn out a little bit in this episode.
Yeah, I took note of that too. I think like watching Matt's, he's had a pretty steady climb.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing with things like him winning the US Open, that's always probably been harder for Alex in a way that I didn't appreciate before, which again makes sense. But
the one quote he said, you're never given the option of not following in his footsteps, which I thought was a great quote. But is that actually true?
Like, yeah, I was going to say, is that true?
Like it makes sense if you're a golfer. Like you're not given, like you have to, you're second, you're younger, but like you could also be a violinist or something like that, you know, like, yeah. So anyways, all right. What's a note you got?
The big thing, like the Zurich Classic, I wonder if people at home who have never watched golf before are like, wait a minute. Like if they win as partners, Alex Fitzpatrick can get a 2-year exemption on the PGA Tour. Like there's no way that the very casual fan is probably connecting all those dots, but it is absurd. And so I just liked like Amanda Renner's quote, Matt doesn't need to play this week, but it's an opportunity to earn his brother a 2-year exemption. And it's like, yeah, pretty damning that that's the way the PGA Tour is structured, but also true. And then cutting directly to final qualifying where Alex earns it for himself. I appreciated that transition. And I wonder how much the casual fan is kind of registering there.
That was a note I had. I said, I appreciated the portrayal of the Zurich. Like, like they did not try to sugar. Like, I don't know if the casual fan picked up on it, but they didn't try to piss on us and tell us it's raining. Like they further delegitimized the Zurich in my eyes. This was a week we did a podcast together, Shotgun Start. You talked about Paresh Amin, who's like had never made a cut on like the G4 tour, whatever it is. And what John Daly and David Duvall, right? Playing back to back, trying to break 80 in best ball and things like that. This further delegitimized the Zurich. Like, I love the quote, like Matt really shouldn't be playing golf this week. There's like no reason. So it just draws out like there are events that are B events. There are events where like Matt Fitzpatrick should not even sniff. And I appreciated the portrayal of it, quite honestly. And you make a good point about
the
it going
theme
to final.
Is in the shadow and talking about how hard it is to be the brother of an elite golfer, like also depicting a benefit.
Like, yeah.
A pretty big, hey, if he'd won, he could have locked up some status on the PGA Tour, which is, again, crazy, but also shows some of the benefits of being Matt Fitzpatrick's brother.
Yep. In those scenes, I thought like Alex was like, it's a little scary because you're getting judged. I found it relatable in a small way. Because we've all been in situations and rounds where we're very uncomfortable, not totally comfortable. And that could be because you're playing with a boss or you're just like the course isn't
playing through.
Like, yes. The foursome is not what you want or everybody's like super good at golf and you're not or whatever it is. Like we've all been a little bit uncomfortable and I'm not comparing that to like a PGA Tour round, but it's clear. It's like, oh my God, there's Colin Morikawa, there's Max Homa, there's Matt Fitzpatrick, and there's me. And he's like, everyone's staring at me and I'm being judged. That was interesting in a way.
At the same time, he's trying to become a professional golfer. So
totally.
But
totally.
He's not complaining
be
about
comfortable.
It.
Yeah. Yes. He's not. He's trying to give his mind from mindset. So what else you got?
I mostly stuff about him qualifying and it was I actually thought a lot of the footage was really cool, and seeing, like, explaining to fans what final qualifying is and them understanding that then he got to play in the Open Championship, maybe getting a little bit of a feel for what openness in golf means. They didn't hammer that point home, but I think it was cool. Rachel Keene, I had positive. I thought she was great and got a lot of airtime. That was one note I have. Like, hope they're still dating by the time this season comes out. Like, that could be some interesting conversations, but I thought she was great.
That was a lot. I mean, she's like a magnetic personality and always does, like, is prominent in coverage for the college championships and stuff like that. But I like the joke, is your brother available? When they talked about that, you know, we're both still in the shadows. The Open Saturday, he says, Saturday was the first day I felt like I became my own person in the game. Kind of a powerful quote. Again, I don't know about it totally, but, you know, that was the round where he, I think, jumped to T4 at some point, became my own person in the game. He goes, I was never meant to play in any majors this year. This is like a real fast track for him. I don't know what else. Do you have anything else on notes?
Not really. Like, I just, like, Matt, the sincerity of his, like, fist pumping when Alex makes his putt on 18, like, it's a short putt, but just, like, being proud of his brother and watching the Fitzpatrick parents celebrate. Like, I don't know. There's a level of sincerity to them that I feel from watching them, that similar to how I felt in the first season, that I just enjoy. It's refreshing to watch people succeed who seem like they have in perspective. And I don't know. It's cool to watch the brothers cheer for each other. So that was a note I had.
One last quote I enjoyed from Matt Fitzpatrick was kind of about the burden of winning a major, your first major, and just one major. And he talks about, like, well, all right, so you won a major, you broke through. And then people, there's like a next level burden that comes with that. It's like, well, quote, did he have just one good week? Like, he's kind of a fluffer. He's not actually good. He had one good week. And that seems to be what he's jumping to next. There was this great Arnold Palmer quote in a Tom Callahan book, Arnie. And Callahan wrote it. I don't think it's Palmer's quote, but it's after a life of chronicling Palmer. It's like, the least talked about pressure is not the one of getting that first major. It's like the attendant sort of pressure that comes with winning, right? And it's about Palmer winning at Cherry Hills at such a young age. And, like, that is like a different, like, the attendant pressure of winning your first major, winning one, is really not talked about a lot. And I think Fitzpatrick gets to that a little bit with that quote. Did he just have one good week?
Yeah, I thought that stood out to me. Only other real note I have, like, the text from Michael Jordan and, like, seeing some of the reactions from the soccer players. But yeah, I mean, it's not a huge note. I was pretty light on notes. I thought this was like a nice episode that won't stick with me necessarily that long. But if Alex Fitzpatrick gets into contention in a tournament, a lot of people are going to have context for who he is. So,
yep. All right, that does it for episode 5, Full Swing Thoughts. We will be back with episode 6. It picks up. Business picks up in episode 6. Talk to you then.